This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. Great to be with you this week. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. Ryan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We co-host the show every week, talking about Christ Together on Mission in Western New York, what things are happening within the Christ Together Network, within the different buckets or different areas of ministry that Christ Together is focused in on. Last week, we had two people just from our area, guys who have, they're not everyday jobs. They're kind of actually very interesting and unique jobs, but they're just people like you and me who are sharing their faith, representing Jesus Christ, representing the gospel and as they go, which is the Great Commission, is to carry the gospel as you go. So as you go throughout your daily life, that's where the opportunities arise. And so you heard some of that if you listened back to last week, or if you listened last week. If you want to listen back to last week, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, go down to Christ Together Radio, and you'll find past episodes. You'll find last week's episode. Hopefully it's posted by now. If not, you can email the station and complain, and we'll send that to Josh. No, we're kidding. But you will find past episodes of Christ Together right there with you. Today, joining us in studio, Mike Hamilton. Mike is a roofing foreman and has been roofing in the roofing business for 20 years. Just great opportunities that he was able to tell us about with what he does and as he goes in the roofing business. And also Dave. Dave is a paramedic. There's EMT and paramedics, right? Two different things. And it used to be an EMT as a paramedic with a local municipality, and is able to just, I mean, the opportunities with of people in dire need that come to him on a daily basis, it's actually a little overwhelming. And quite honestly, I don't think I could do that job, just the emotional part of it. And so it's really cool to hear some of his stories. And if you listened last week, we were talking about an individual, and Dave started sharing his name, so he's going to kill you, by the way.
Yeah,
you don't
okay.
care.
I can take
it. Yeah. It's actually a good friend of Dave's and has become a good friend of our ministry as a church and as a small group. Is now Chad is in our small group. Mm-hmm. And I won't say his fiance's name because that will really be bad. She will kill you.
I would mess with Chad, but I'm not going to mess with Sam. Oops.
Oh, you're terrible. really cool story of how God was able to use Dave and just as he went in everyday ministry. And Ryan, we see this, we should see it more.
Right.
But when we do see this, it's encouraging to us, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I just think it's a vital part of how God wants to be glorified in our region is that in order to reach every man, woman, and child, he wants to use each man, each woman, and each child that loves Jesus to see him be glorified in the region by the saturation of the gospel.
So stick around for the next hour on Christ Together Radio. You're going to hear from Mike and Dave, hear some of their stories. Also hear about what they've done in short-term missions and some of the work they've been able to do and how it changed their lives and how it impacted them and kind of gave them a recharge and a reset for continuing to carry on the gospel. So stick around. You don't want to miss what's coming up on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, hosting every week as we do together. It sounded like Yoda the way I said that.
Together, hosting every week we are.
We are, exactly. And we're glad to be with you today. We've brought in two great guys who are serving the Lord in what they do, and Dave Monroe and Mike Hamilton. Welcome, guys, again to Christ Together Radio. Love having you guys on. Last week was a great show. Powerful show, and I think will encourage many through your willingness to kind of open up and share what God is doing through you. We're going to start. Actually, let's start with Dave, because we started to share the story of Chad, and maybe take us back to the beginning. We'll do a recap for those who didn't hear it last week. We can start from the beginning and just tell us what happened. You talked about how God gave you a partner that was very timely.
Sure. I think it's kind of like what I said last week was God puts you through situations growing up and in your life that you really don't know why. You look back and you're like, why did you put me through that situation? Why did you have me go through that addiction? Why did you have me go through that problem? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have an answer until I was working as a paramedic and had a new partner this day, and his name was Chad. He comes through and he's this scraggly looking guy. He just looks rough. But just through working together, and one of the things I love about working on an ambulance is you get to know somebody. You have a captive audience for 12 or sometimes even 16 hours in a shift. So you get to know somebody really well. And, we deal with rough situations. So we kind of got to have each other's backs because you don't really know what you're going to be walking into. Mm-hmm. So you build that relationship. That foundation's already there after a few shifts of working together. And just in the downtime that you have, you get to talk to somebody and build a relationship with them, which is the part that I love about the job. And really just God puts us in our individual areas, whether you're in an office building or working on an ambulance, working on a roof, a street corner, teaching, God puts you in that situation wherever he needs you to be a light in that area. And God put me in to be a light in a very, very dark place on an ambulance. And, we see a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety, and you're basically dealing with people in tough situations. So our partners are really who we have to lean on. And I love being in that situation and getting to know, a guy named Chad. This was maybe 4 years ago. We're working together, and the problems that he had, he was describing problems with, pornography, with addiction, with lust, and really, I'm just sitting back, as he's opening up. Dudes don't share their hearts together, but it's kind of strange because he just opened up randomly. And I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking like, yeah, I was going through that problem. I know where you've been. So I slowly started to interject, what the Bible says and what Christ says. And you got to pick and choose when and where, because the Bible is, in James, it talks about the power of life and death is within the words that we say. So you really got to be careful and really cognizant of the Holy Spirit working through your life. So this was over the span of maybe a year of, really having deep theological conversations. He was coming at me with, what's the Trinity? Why does God allow evil in the world? Where'd the world come from? Even creation, evolution, he's coming at me with hard problems, and I didn't necessarily have all the answers. But it would cause me to step back, pray, do some research on my own, and really just come back at him and be like, hey, this is what the Bible says, and this is what God says. And so he was challenging me, being an unbeliever, challenging my faith in, deepening my, walk with Christ. Just these answers, wanting to find an answer. And it was just, I don't know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit just telling me, yeah, pursue this guy, pursue a friendship. So we would hang out after work. We would hang out, we would go out and grab coffee, grab lunch. And he was going through some hard problems. He was a single father at the time. He's got two kids. And it was good to just be able to plant that seed in his life. And, this was, again, over the span of a few years. And eventually I dragged him to church. And, he came to Grace Church. And
meanwhile, a lot of people praying for him, right?
Oh, man.
That's key.
That was huge.
I don't think you can miss that.
No, thank you. In our small group, we prayed for him constantly in two separate small groups. So he had maybe 20 to 30 people just praying for him on a regular basis. So that was really neat, and not to mention I was on my knees a lot praying for this dude. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he came to church, and then he met this girl, and it was kind of cool to be able to be like, hey, man, do this right. Don't go down the path that, a lot of secular people like to, don't take her out to a bar, don't be getting drunk and doing stupid stuff. And he did. He listened. And it was kind of funny because he trying to see him kind of like a little baby giraffe, you know, get his feet for the first time. You know, he's stumbling, he's wobbling around, but, you know, he asked a lot of questions, and it was really good. And, you know, through the prayer, like you said, he finally accepted Christ two and a half years in, and it was awesome because we were on a retreat down in Camp Bethany in Sinclairville, and, you know, he just came to me, and I'm like, dude, did you accept Christ? And he smiled, and dude, I just had like the biggest grin and couldn't get off. And I just hugged him, man.
Yep.
And it was one of those where I told him, you know, like before he accepted Christ, I said, hey man, I love you, but there's only so much further that we can take our relationship because, you know, gotta accept Christ, man. And I kind of gave him an ultimatum, and he did. Yeah. And, you know, he responded, and, you know, he accepted Christ. And then through that, with the girl that he's now getting married, she accepted Christ maybe 6 months ago, and she got baptized. Yep. And one of the greatest honors that I ever had in my whole life in my Christian walk is I was able to baptize Chad at church. Hmm. And man, I'm getting choked up right now just thinking about that. Yeah. But it was all just, you know, just it started from just being open and being able to interject a right word at the appropriate time. I'm pretty sure there's a proverb out there, something like a, I can't think of right now, but kind of just listening to the Holy Spirit promptings and just being patient. You know, this was over 3 years, two and a half, 3 years, just being patient with him, loving on him.
There's a whole ton of lessons in there, for people, but some of it, one of the things that I pick up from it is just, patience. When you're sharing the gospel, when God lays somebody on your heart, God's timing is so much different than ours. We tend to think very logically, very like, okay, they're through this step, they go to the next step. We tend to put things in logical time space, and God is already there. He's already in the past. He's already in the future. He's there, and he's going to do it in his time. And our job is just to continue to be faithful in that. And the reason it reminds me of that is you were working so hard, with Chad at first, and just, finally, it just came time, and he kind of just, it was just a matter of going through the process. He knew God had been working so much in his heart, and God had been just drawing Chad, and eventually it was almost like he just had to give in because it was like, okay. And I remember him, you know, going and talking to Pastor John Longwell and saying, I got to talk to you. And out on the porch, it was just a matter of, you know, sealing the deal in a way, you know, just saying, hey, I surrender. And the same thing happened with Sam, his fiance. I distinctly remember that day, Dave. I don't know if you, I'm sure you do, but just standing there walking or watching as people left the church, and she came out bawling. And I remember Pastor John and you had been working on her so much, and it was like everybody knew what was going to happen. She walked right up to John, and he goes, "Is it time?" She goes, "Yep." And it was it.
Yeah.
It was just so cool how God just finally said, you're mine now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think just if you're praying for somebody out there, and if you're frustrated and you just don't understand why not, and it's been maybe many people, it's been years. I have a friend that prayed for their father for 30 years before they came to Christ. But they did in God's time. And so stay faithful. Keep praying. Keep pleading with the Lord. And he does answer prayer, doesn't he, Ryan?
He does. I mean, that story reminds me of even just my own family situation. So my mom gave her life to Jesus in the early 70s at a Billy Graham crusade in Cleveland. And really, until 1997, so like 72 to 97, my mom had no people in her family that knew Jesus. And then I came to know Jesus. And so I gave my life to the Lord in 97, and God really changed me, like very, very dramatic shift, anger, frustration, selfishness, all those things he began to work on. And, you know, slowly but surely, then my sister came to know Jesus, then my brother came to know Jesus, and then my father came to know Jesus, which I had to repent when my dad gave his life to Jesus because I had given up.
Yeah.
And you know, God's at work in all of our lives, and he's still working on us in a number of ways, but there is hope when you pray and repeated opportunities for the gospel, not one, repeated opportunities for the gospel. That's what sticks in my mind when I hear that story.
Yeah, it's interesting when you break down that mission statement.
Yeah,
every word matters, and the repeated opportunities to hear, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's so mm-hmm. important that if you think back to people that you know you were working on and being a witness to and sharing the gospel with, those repeated times of hearing and seeing are so important. And Mike, we want to get to you in just a minute here, and we just have a couple minutes left in this segment. But is there any specific situation or person that you've come in contact with, maybe through work or maybe not through work, just them going throughout your life in the military or wherever, where God has been able to, where you've seen God's timing take place, or you've had to wait for God and He's answered?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm really going through it right now. I am literally waiting on God, and He's doing His work on my other half, my wife. Mm-hmm. We've been together for about 12 years now, and she has seen both sides of me, the bad and the good.
Hmm.
And she's seen the changes that have been going on in my life since I've really started to focus on the Lord and to stay in this faith journey. We have this thing at our church where we call a pie square list,
yeah.
where you have
sure
a couple of people that you pray for. You make a list of people you pray for, and you continually pray for them every single day. My wife, she's at the top of my list, and I've been doing this now for about a year, and I am proud to say that the Lord really is answering the questions, because I don't have the answers, but she is asking the right questions to the right person. Last week, I remember she went and talked to Pastor Longwell's wife. And that's a good start. I can't control her faith or how she serves God, but the most I can do is get my knees continually dirty and keep praying for her until it all changes. I feel pressure because I hate being in this faith journey by myself. But like I said, I cannot control her salvation. It's all up to God.
Hmm. That's yeah, huge, Ryan.
That's real. I mean, you have a scenario where a couple comes together, they get married, not necessarily following Jesus. The gospel intersects your life. There are people all over Western New York where that's happened. That was my mom's story. It was a similar situation. She comes to know Jesus. Husband doesn't know Jesus. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And I love it when marriages start off where we're equally yoked and we love Jesus. That's just fantastic. But the gospel intersects lives at different points in time.
It gets messy.
Yeah. And so just... if you're out there and you know you're hearing that story, there's hope. There's like we have this great hope that your wife is going to come to know Jesus,
amen.
Right? And that if you're out there and you're following Jesus, but your spouse is not, that there is hope in prayer, and that the gospel is real, and the gospel does not stop working just because you're in a scenario where you now have Jesus and your spouse does not. There is great hope that we can have in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Oh, so true. So true. And cool to hear that. And we're going to continue praying. And
thank
we're not going to give
thank
up,
you.
Right? As a body of believers, and also now people out there, you know, let's pray for Mike's wife.
Yeah.
You don't need to know her name. Just pray for Mike's wife. Mm-hmm. God knows who she is. I truly believe we're going to see that happen. We have to believe it.
I would just say, too, on the outside looking in, I'm excited to be connected with Grace on Eggert.
Yeah.
There's some really great stories going on here.
And Ryan, I can attest, this is happening continually in our church, and it's really just really cool. I was just thinking, Ryan, too, like if your ministry is not messy, then you're probably not doing a lot. I just hate to say it, because these nice to have a nice clean church where everybody just has no problem,
everything's buttoned down,
you're probably not really doing much. But you know, when you start to just allow God to do what He wants to do within your church, within your ministry, within your life, it's going to get messy, because sin is messy, people are messy, and none of us are glorified until heaven. And it is. Mm-hmm. And so that's the beauty. And to me, that's the beauty of it. It's fun. That's the fun of ministry, is is when it gets that way. And I know, Ryan, you're this way with the chapel and Grace, when elders get together and just pray for the ministry to get messy. I mean, literally, I pray, like, God, make whatever I'm involved in get to just enough messy to let me know that it's real.
Yeah,
and that I love it when things get real. So, Mike, thanks for sharing that. I know it's not easy. You know, we're getting personal here on the radio. And don't worry about it. You know, millions of people hear it. I'm just kidding, guys. But anyway, this is Christ Together Radio. Great program today. You want to stick around. We're going to continue on with Mike and Dave.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host every week. As you just heard from Mike Hamilton and Dave Monroe, Mike sharing about how God is working in his family, and just it's really cool. In our last segment, to talk about how, real people, it's real life, and nobody's immune to going through struggles and difficult times. And as God begins to work, we get to see him pick up the pieces. And it's, if you look throughout the story of God's word and how God, you know, reveals himself in so many different ways, we see it typically revealed in people who are kind of messy. Mm. I mean, Moses was kind of messy. It begins there and it goes on. We see just God continually working in people who are broken. And I think God does that to show his power and to make sure that people don't think it's all about them. Mike and Dave, you shared with us now last week and then earlier this week, and there's another kind of twist to what you do and taking the gospel to so many people, and that's you're both involved in short-term missions projects, and you have been, and not just missions for the sake of the people you're helping, although that is the first purpose there, but also just what it does to you as you begin to serve others. And Mike just shared with us, so why don't we go to Dave? And Dave, I know you're in a couple different ways you're involved in missions. It's kind of a heart of yours is to take the gospel to people in ways that, again, we talk about Ryan hearing and seeing the gospel and in ways that they hear and see. And maybe start with how you got in to having a passion for missions, and then you can share your work with Brothers Without Borders and go from there.
Sure. As far as missions is concerned, I always think of, you know, the Great Commission as far as go, you know, when it says is Matthew or in Matthew, and I just like going. I'm an adventure seeker. I like to get out there and, you know, hey, let's have some fun. Let's serve people. I think God's spiritual gift that he gave me really is serving. And, it's kind of funny, at work I got hooked up with a guy named Brandon Vizzi, who is the director of Brothers Without Borders. Brothers Without Borders kind of parallels it's a mission statement with the chapel, but it's kind of for first responders or anybody, you know, police, fire, or anybody in EMS. But our mission statement really is that every man, woman, and child will hear, see, and respond to the gospel of Christ wherever we are called through the use of our God-given talents to provide emergency first response training and education and support in their communities. And that's here in Buffalo and also down in the Dominican Republic. And God really laid that on my heart. I felt like this heavy weight, like you have to go there and you have to serve and you have to be a part of it. And I think if you're just pliable and able to be molded by God and just, you know, when you say, God, how can you use me? He's going to put opportunities in your way that you're not going to have any choice but to be compelled to do it. So that really was my calling to say, hey, be a part of this, get involved in it. And this was maybe 5 years ago. I was still a relatively baby Christian. We take trips down to the Dominican Republic and we train the first responders down there. It's a third world country, so they really don't have a lot, but they do a lot with the little that they have. We partnered with Jeff Hackett and SCORE International. So we go down there and we kind of just winged it the first trip that we were down there. A bunch of white people show up in a Dominican firehouse and like, hey, we're here. And they opened up their doors like, oh, you're firefighters. You're bomberos from the United States. And they just open up their doors. And through that, we not only brought them training, but we also brought them the gospel. And over the last 5 years, we take a trip down there in February every year, and we have seen a growth in all of the departments down there. And it's not by the training or the stuff that we bring them. It's the power of the gospel. And it's really neat to be able to see the change, not only physically, but also spiritually, that these firefighters do down there. That was really neat to be able to be a part of that. It changes you inside, not in a sense of like accomplishment, like a pat on the back, but also like a, wow, God, you are a huge God, not just here in Buffalo, but God, you are everywhere. It's awesome.
We tend to Americanize our version of God.
Yeah.
Maybe give us a better picture of what it looks like in the Dominican Republic for a first responder. Like, to me, I'm trying to picture, like, do they have fire stations? Do they have fire trucks? Do they have,
yeah.
I mean, if someone goes, you know, if a person has an issue with health, does an ambulance come?
It depends on where you are. In the cities, they have more modernized fire equipment, and by fire equipment modernized, maybe trucks that were built in like 1990. So they're old, secondhand stuff that you probably get somewhere from the United States that have been decommissioned and sent down there. The more villages that we tend to go towards, there's just dudes in a bucket brigade wanting to serve their community. And there's such a, between like the big major cities and the small little villages, there's a huge difference. So we tend to focus more on giving to the people, you know, the little guy that needs it. We spend more time there and really building them up and giving them the tools, equipment, spiritually and mentally. But it's crazy to see just the difference in, you know, sometimes our first thing down there, when we talked to them and started giving them training, like, do you know CPR? And they looked at us like, what?
What's that?
Like, what's that? Wow. And then once we told them, they're like, oh yeah, we don't do that because the hospitals don't know what to do even if we brought them there. So
wow.
It was really a gut check to be like, wow, you guys really don't have a lot of stuff. That was hard to take, but there's an opportunity and a door there for us to walk through, and we've been walking through that for 5 years.
So you begin with classes then, Dave, when you go down there?
A lot of it is fire. You know, we'll go down there and be like, hey, what do you guys need? What do you want? And we go down there with, you know, fire training. We have kind of like an idea of what we want to do, but really it's, what do they want? You know, how can we serve you? And they tell us, and then we kind of go from there. We wing it, but it's awesome. We fellowship with them. We give them the gospel. And a cool part is, too, is we've partnered with a couple of translators down there. And one is, I'm the director of American outreach here, but we have a guy named Felix Fils, who is director of Dominican outreach. And when we're not there, he's a missionary with SCORE. When we're not there, he continues missionary work and also doing gospel. They're sharing gospel and doing devotions with the guys. We're in 5 or 6 different departments, and he goes to them either weekly or biweekly. And we have seen, it's cool because on Facebook he's like, oh yeah, another firefighter got saved here. You know, another one made a decision there. And it's awesome to see the work that God's doing down there in Dominican, and just seeing the heart transformation that these guys are having. It's awesome to see.
That's great.
And how many guys go each year?
Roughly about 10 to 15. We don't...
From local first responders from the Buffalo area?
Yeah. Another thing that's cool about our group is you don't have to be a Christian to go. We take anybody from any faith, even no faith whatsoever. We just ask, hey, we're going to be sharing the gospel. Just be, are you respectful.
Okay
of it. Yeah, are you okay
and
with it?
You can influence them too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've had this past trip, we've had 2 people make a decision to follow Christ.
Guys that went on the trip.
Yes. So we not only do we serve the people down there, but we also minister to the people that come down there with us. So
that's crazy.
It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. When I was in college ministry in Northwest Ohio, where I got saved was at Bowling Green State University, and we're part of a network of churches called Great Commission Ministries. But we would have a spring service project on the Appalachian Trail, Appalachian Service Project. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of folks that were spiritually seeking that weren't believers, but they were going to go on a mission project and to come back and, hey, I went down to help these people and realized I needed Jesus too, and I gave my life to Jesus. So it's it's amazing how God can use that to lead people to Him, even when they feel like, oh, I'm going to help, and the reality is they did, but the greatest help that they received was Christ, you know, and this is really cool to see.
And it's very important and great that you all are open to letting God work that out and not quite putting the. Obviously, we need a majority of people going to know why they're going.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to just let people like that come and be able to share the gospel to them is really cool. And Mike Hamilton's joining us, too. And you've heard from Mike the last couple of weeks. And Mike, I know that you've done some short-term missions trips, too, as you begin to grow in your faith journey or continue to grow in your faith journey in growing with Christ, that you... missions and helping other people has kind of become something that's on your heart.
Yes, it is.
Your local church. Yeah.
I've only been on two mission trips so far. Mm-hmm. And it's so ironic that the person who introduced me to start the mission trips is sitting next to me, Dave Monroe himself. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
My first thought of missions is what I used to see on TV growing up. You see poor kids in these third world countries and they have nothing. And that's all I thought that missions was until we went to New York City with Dave Monroe. We were helping one of our pastors, Reverend Rodriguez, down there. And the way his zeal, the way he administered to the people down there of every different faith, every different background, it lit a fire in me. That when I came back, I just wanted to do more. The second trip we went to was down to New Mexico, and here I am again thinking, oh yeah, we're going to help these people, when in all reality, we're the ones who are being enlightened by the way they receive us and the work that we do for them. So it's something that I really want to do more of, and I wish, I know I would have more opportunities to.
Short-term mission trips are really cool, especially when they're done right and done well and with purpose. They can be dangerous, too, as sometimes we go into a place not knowing what we're doing, not knowing the culture, and we can actually hurt people who are doing good work there. But when they're done in cooperation with people who are on the ground and working, they are so powerful. Again, not just for the people you're serving, but for yourself. And I've done them. They weren't so short term, for like a month at a time when we were a group I was with in college. And just the cool thing about them is there's such a spiritual excitement, journey, and tension almost, that you see God work in those situations because you're so focused and you're so honed in. You see God work in those situations like you probably never have seen Him before. And
exactly.
I know I have stories of real spiritual warfare, not that you couldn't see, that you could see. I mean, I've had spells cast on me and some really crazy stuff that'll make your hair stand up. And I know and you guys, I believe in New York City, and we're live on the air here, so I'm throwing this out there, but you saw God work in a unique way in a park with a storm, right?
Yes.
Tell us the story, Mike.
It was on the
just a couple of minutes here.
It was
on
actually on Dave's first trip.
Tell us the story of the park, the storm. Were you guys? Did you guys? There was a storm coming in, right? And it didn't. I heard this third hand, but
I think that was on the first mission trips to New York, the one that I wasn't on. But I can literally say, you go down to these trips, you plan on doing things, but God worked in such mysterious ways that what you plan to do is never what ends up happening. We go to New Mexico and we're pouring concrete for the kitchen, and that was all that we had to do. It just so happened that while the concrete truck was there, the antenna fell, and it needed concrete at the base. And if... God just works in mysterious ways.
He does.
It's so amazing how it works.
I remember the story, isn't it, briefly. I think what happened was this mission team was going to do missions in the park. It was like the whole thing was set up for this children's thing that was in the park. And a storm was, nasty thunderstorm, rainstorm coming right at them. The whole place was going to get you know, just demolished, and they all began praying. And the only place it didn't rain, all around them was rain. The only place it didn't rain was in that park.
Wow.
And just amazing to see how God.
That's crazy.
Literally, I mean, yeah. A miracle in front of your face. And here's this Baptistic type group down there praying, and it's like this stuff happens. And it's like, whoa. Okay.
Well, that was interesting.
That was exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for jogging my memory. I remember looking at my phone and seeing all week we were building up to this great picnic event for the whole, you know, village of or city area of Astoria.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at our phone and seeing the radar. It was literally, you see the reds and the oranges all around, but then you just see Astoria and there's nothing there. That's and it was crazy just to see rain all around on their phone, but nothing there.
Wow.
And you're like, wow, God, you have nothing more to say, but you're awesome. Thank you.
It wasn't divine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing to see those kind of things. And we're going to take a quick break here in just about 30 seconds, but want to remind you that if you want to hear more about Christ Together or want to read more about Christ Together, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, go down to Christ Together. You can find all of our past programs right there. They're all stored there for you. You can click play on any of them and listen to what God has been doing in Western New York and through church planting, through engaging people in the gospel, and just so many different ways that God has used many different people in the process of sharing the gospel with the people of Western New York. This is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy with Dave Monroe and Mike Hamilton. We have just a few more minutes here left of Christ Together. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy, your hosts for today and every day, every week, every Saturday. Not every day. It's not every weekday. It's every Saturday.
That's right.
And Sunday now. Saturdays at 9 a.m., all new time, just started this past month or so. And Sundays at 11 a.m., you can hear us live on WDCX FM 99.5 AM 970. And we'd love to hear what you have to say. If you want to go to WDCXradio.com and find Christ Together, there's a form there. You can give us some feedback. Let us know if you have any questions. We'd love to get to them and maybe give us ideas for what you see God doing through your world and your community. Love to talk about that. Joining us in studio today, Mike Hamilton, a foreman with a local roofing company. Mike, you can say it if you want. I don't know if you're allowed to, but
We are. It's Black Brick Roofing. With a shameless plug.
There you go. Well, no, it's fine. I just didn't. Some guys aren't allowed to, whatever, yeah. But it's fine. Black Rock Roofing, you'll see. I love.
Their trucks are everywhere.
Their trucks are everywhere, and they're very noticeable. It's great marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love, because I every time I see a truck, I'm like, is that Mike? I get all excited. It's usually not you. I don't know why. Yeah, actually, this morning we had some. Hey, there's a contractor parked in one of our reserve spots out there, and it was Mike. But yeah, he's got the big Black Rock Roofing truck. And Dave Monroe, who's a local paramedic, formerly EMT, and then I guess paramedics, so you have to take more classes and things like that. You're like above an EMT now.
A lot of schooling, yes.
Yeah, a lot of schooling. I remember you went through that a few years ago, right?
Yeah, it was torture.
It's torture. And he's a paramedic now with a local township in the Buffalo area, and gets to drive a cooler truck now mm-hmm. that you're a paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that big ambulance.
It's nice. A lot of lights, and you can drive fast.
You can drive.
It's nice.
It's very dangerous.
Safely.
Safely. You drive safely. Very safely with lights on. And anyway, we're hearing their stories about how God is working throughout them just going about their daily lives, them involved as they are involved in ministry from just a real grassroots local level. And we began to talk about their missions experience and how that has kind of helped formed and I guess we used the word recharge earlier, Ryan, or we were talking about it. And it's a recharge to what missions. And missions can be such a spark
Yeah, for people. It can be. And I know that one of the things I'd love to hear even from you guys is, you know, the reality of we go over on a short-term mission trip. And it is a blessing for the people that we serve. But, you know, I know a lot of the times we're also trying to coach people. Hey, when you come back, there's going to be this wave of momentum that's on you. And how are you going to carry that back into the mission field of Western New York? Because, you know, a lot of people don't know this. The United States is now the fourth largest mission field in the world. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. Barna says that his feeling is roughly 3% of Americans live with an actual biblical worldview. So it's just north of 12 million people. You know, in reality, he's like, well, if you're living with a biblical worldview, you're probably a believer. If you're not living with a biblical worldview, I don't know what you are, right? I'm not judging, but that's a small percentage of people that are living in a way that their Bible reflects a biblical narrative. Like they're actually living with the conviction of God's word. So I'm just asking you guys, would love to hear, when you come back, what do you bring back with you from the short-term mission trip? And what do you hope that people would bring back with them as they think about the lostness of people here in Western New York?
The first thing you bring back is definitely a respect for the place that you've been to. The two places that I've been on a mission trip, you see it's not subtle. You see the big differences. Up here, we complain about our water is not hot enough for us to go in the shower. People down there in New York City who are homeless, they don't take a bath every day. They don't get the amenities that we have up here. So, you know, we just have to come back and more or less consider others more significant than us. Just, we're in a plush bubble, mm-hmm. and everything that I need, I can go and get. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm talking material stuff, clothes, toiletries, stuff like that. There are people down there who just can't get it. And it's our job to make sure that we help them. I know that we're not made to live alone. We're made to be in a community. And in a community, people look out for each other. And that is what I get back from mission trips.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you'll hear that at your church a lot, right? We're not made to do this alone.
No. That is part of our creed. Yeah. You know, it's a community. We are together. We're in this journey together. We're supposed to help each other.
Yeah. Dave, any I'm sure you have several, but big takeaways from mission trips?
I think staying, Mike kind of touched on it too, but being humble, really seeing other people that really don't have anything, but doing a lot with little makes you appreciate really what you have. Mm. One of the things though that I kind of take back from going on mission trips is seeing, we go to different churches down there and just seeing the way that they worship. And these are people who really don't have anything, but they are worshiping their brains out and just praising God and glorifying God, singing at the top of their voice, and, you know, kids dancing in an aisle, you know, just praising Jesus. And it is awesome to see. So being able to come back, you know, sitting in a, you know, kind of a fundamental Baptist church where, you know, I can... I can clap, but I'm also worrying if, you know, I'm offending people next to me.
Don't let your hands go this.
Exactly. Above this. but that's kind of one of the appreciations and things that I take back is like, wow, God, we should be praising the way that those people praise down there, because we mm-hmm. have so much and we've been blessed by the world standards, you know, with all these creature comforts. And man, I should be just praising God that much more for all the things and all the freedoms that he's given us here in America.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sit back and you're like, wow, God, you are awesome.
Yeah, you know, you hit on something, Dave, that it's sparked a memory of me for one a trip I took, a mission trip, but also a friend of mine. I'm connected with a network of church partners known as SCP, Saturation Church Planting. And so we go overseas and we're connected to different parts of the world where they don't have as much resources as what we have here in the West. And it's interesting. My view of church planting has changed radically in coming back. And so what I mean by that is, And a good friend of mine, Jordan Stinziano, who helped plant Missio Church in Syracuse, he has felt this way too. You know, you go over to India, which is an area that we've had some partnership in SCP. And, you know, you talk to a guy who came to know Jesus 15 years ago, and he's a church planter who's planted 500 churches in 15 years, like an individual. And you're going, No, that's not possible. You can't. You couldn't have planted 500 churches in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And like, no, actually, he really has. And the way he's done it has really changed our view of church planting, because in the United States, well, you got to have a core of 40 people. You got to have a budget. You got to have a building. You've got to have equipment for audiovisual. You got to have a worship leader. Like, and churches do get planted that way in the United States. That does happen. But even in the way that we look at church planting through our initiative here in Western New York, CPI, it's changed the way we look at church planting. You want to plant a house church? Okay, let's talk about that. If it's Orthodox in its Christianity and you literally have the ability to plant a church out of a home, and you want to plant 10 more churches and 10 other homes in Niagara County, which is the case for someone who's actually on our team, okay, then let's talk about that. Bivocational church planting. You want to plant a church in a community center because you work at a community center and they want to give you space for free at a community center, and you're not thinking about a church building at all, and you're not even thinking about a church your pastoral salary because your job, you know, provides funding for you. Okay, we need to talk about that. And yes, a traditional launch of 40 people and stuff like that. But you know, the reality is that here's a guy in India who has he doesn't have anything to his name, and he's planted 500 churches and he started 6 orphanages. And you're going, Lord Jesus, what are we thinking over here? Mm. How must we think differently about planting churches? And granted, some of it is you live in the richest country that the world has ever known, right? So that does affect the way that you go about exegeting and understanding your culture. But at the same time, some of the greatest things that I've gotten from being in Ukraine and Donetsk and Brazil and Argentina and different other countries throughout the world is I have developed an appreciation for people's creativity to get stuff done when they don't have financial means to do so. Mm-hmm. And I've realized money is a great inhibitor at times of us being able to get stuff done. And other times it's a great accelerator. Other times it's a great barrier because you're assuming that money is the answer for you to actually accomplish what you're doing. It's really not. It can get in the way of your ability to understand what's most creatively to be done next.
Ryan, I think that would probably apply to many things in life beyond church planting.
Oh yeah,
in the Christian life,
absolutely.
Money can be, and Jesus spoke about it many, many, many times, and Paul did too, just about how money can really keep us from what God has for us. Can it?
Yeah, absolutely, it can. And you know, this is a good opportunity to talk about just briefly. A book that I'm reading right now is Counterfeit Gods by Tim Keller. And it's a book that talks about the idolatry of money, sex, and power, specifically in Western worlds, and how in many respects, my takeaway so far, I'm about halfway through the book, those things are incredibly blinding to understanding what kingdom living really is. Love of money, love of power, love of sex. They become idolatrous. They actually are a barrier between you and a deeper understanding of God. And that, I think, is an indictment on much of America and why the gospel falls on deaf ears to many people.
Wow. That's a whole show right there.
Yeah.
We got to get some people lined up quick for that one. That's a great show. Guys, any other things you'd like to share? You have a microphone here for a few more minutes and a bunch of people listening and an opportunity to just kind of share what God has laid on your hearts, you know, through coming to Christ and whatever. Dave, I'll let you go first, and then just a couple minutes, and then leave Mike a couple minutes.
I was talking to Brandon Vizzi, for Brothers Without Borders with me, and shameless plug for anybody who wants to get involved. Sure. You don't have to be a first responder. We accept firefighters, police officers, nurses, but for more information, they can go to brotherswithoutborders.org. And you could contact us through that way and see if you want to get involved. But one of the things that I'm learning through missions is we always think, well, I want to be in the will of God. You know, God, what do you want for my life? God, what do you want this? And I think that it's almost paralysis by analysis as we wait so long and be like, God, just give me something, when just open your eyes and, you know, you can get in. You don't have to go down to the Dominican Republic. You don't have to, you know, go to New Mexico or New York City. Those things are fun and God's using you, you know, there. But, you know, just get involved somewhere just through, you know, whether it be a food pantry or your local church or whatever it is, just get involved and serve people, because that's what Christ did when he was mm-hmm. down here. And that's really, you know, my heart and, you know, what I really think the Christ heart is just serving people where they're at, meeting people where they're at.
Yeah.
You don't have to go, you know, across the country to do it.
Absolutely. Get involved right now. Mike, anything you want to
share? There are mission opportunities wherever you are. You can serve a mission in your neighborhood. You can do a mission in your building. It doesn't matter. The one thing I want to say is just be content with whatever you have. Don't go searching for more. God will always provide.
Hmm. Boy, that's a little nugget of wisdom there. Be content with what you have. Don't go searching for more. God will always provide. It's so true.
Hmm.
It's so true. And I know you can attest to that in your life. And David, I know you can too. It's just so many times... I think I need to read that book when I'm done with this one I'm reading, but the search for money and just the idolatrous nature of really all of mankind. We mm-hmm. see, I mean, the Israelites struggled with this over and over and over again. Everywhere they went where there was something new and shiny,
mm-hmm.
they were like squirrels. They were just like, ooh, look, you know, but not to be hard on them, because we're the same way.
Yeah.
And as we begin to just seek what God wants and pursue intimacy with God, he begins to give us situations that are similar to Mike and Dave's. And there's true joy found in that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the simplicity of the gospel and living with the gospel at the center of your life makes the complexities of life a little bit more simple. I think that's what I would say is, the gospel in its simplicity helps you to make sense of the great complexity of this world, and just resting in the fact that even though it is complex, you don't need to chase that. The simplicity of the gospel is the beauty of the gospel, and it's the absolutely most necessary thing that you need to take with you, a deep understanding of as you walk through this life.
Oh, so true. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're glad to join you this week as we brought Mike Hamilton and Dave Monroe in studio to share their stories of just everyday people on mission to share the gospel with those whom God gives them, those whom God puts them in contact with. If you'd like to know more about Christ Together Radio, as always, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, scroll down to Christ Together, and click on that. And you can find more about what God is doing through the church in Western New York. Dave Monroe, thank you for joining us. Brotherswithoutborders.org.
Correct.
Is the website you need to check out. Mike Hamilton, thanks for joining us. Thank you guys, too, for your work with Grace on Eggert, Ryan Cozy at the Chapel at Crosspoint, and Brett Larson here at DCX. Thank you. Have a great week, and go serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.